Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's tax time, so I had to walk a whole 6 feet over and ask for a guest to come in and help us in the studio today, and that's our own Steve Tassinelli, who is VP of Tax Services. He's also our controller, but he oversees the tax services offered by Holland Tax and Accounting Services, Inc., a wonderful subsidiary of Holland Financial. So we do tax work, and so I wanted Steve to come in and talk a little bit about taxes. And Steve actually ran across a great summary from Kiplinger magazine on some of the most overlooked tax deductions, and it prompted a CPA to CPA little think tank conversation that Steve and I had about some of these deductions and how they affect our clients and how they may affect you, ladies and gentlemen, how you may be thinking about some of these deductions you may not have thought of. And, you know, look, we always are learning something, right? So these are some new things that you might want to take in consideration when you get your taxes done. So we'll welcome Steve back. Steve, if you haven't met Steve, Steve was born in Maryland and he became a Floridian back in 1978 when his family moved here, and he attended Seabreeze High School. Yeah, go Crabs. And he also went to Florida State University. Go Noles. So Steve has a double degree. He doubled up. He's an overachiever. He's got a criminology and accounting degree from FSU and has been with Holland Financial since 2008. Fine acquisition on the part of Holland Financial to have Steve with us. And Steve is both a CPA and a certified management accountant. And that is kind of more of the management side of accounting, but he's got both personal and business tax expertise and experience. So we're going to dive right in here. Welcome back to the program, Steve.
Thank you.
I appreciate you making the long trek and journey to come spend some time with us here in the studio.
Anytime.
All right. Well, if I have a guest cancel, I'll stop at your office, pick you up on the way to the studio, and which is 6 feet from the studio. Anyway, so let's dive right in here. So I know that there are a lot of different deductions, and it's interesting to me, Steve. You know, every time we hear the conversations in Congress and politicians talking about simplifying the tax code, it seems to me every time they talk about that or actually do anything about it, they just add another couple thousand pages. So, you know, these deductions, it's like, we've got this, we've got that, we've got that, we've got, it's all these things, and I don't see us anytime soon going to a simplification. So in the meantime, we've got to know about these. And I guess the convenient thing here is Kiplinger went through and identified some of the top or most overlooked tax deductions. And some of these can be very significant. It adds up to millions, if not billions of dollars in taxes that people aren't getting a break on. So if we can start wherever you'd like and kind of hit some of these big ones that you had found and how this may affect people.
Sure, absolutely. We can start with one that is very important to Floridians. It is the state sales tax. Since Florida does not have an income tax, it allows you, the IRS allows you to deduct state sales tax. That's your purchases throughout the year that you make. Now, you don't have to keep a receipt on every single thing you buy throughout the year. It's based on the amount of your total income. The assumption being the more you make, the more you're going to spend, hence the more you pay in sales tax. So that's one that is it goes on the Schedule A, so you will have to itemize in order to take advantage of that deduction. If you do not itemize, you kind of miss out on that one. Basically, what it is based on a table, based on your income, you list state sales tax as a in the same spot that you would put your real estate taxes and all the other taxes. Now, if you buy something big like an auto or a boat, it allows you to add that on to the total that you would be eligible for based on the withholding table from the start.
That's good to know, because if you make a big purchase, you know, you may not have you certainly paid the sales tax when you made your purchase, and that can get built right in there.
Absolutely. As soon as I find out that a client itemizes, my first question to them is, did you buy a vehicle? Did you buy a boat? Planes also qualify, but that question normally isn't answered in the affirmative.
Not a common thing here in Florida. I mean, I imagine if you live in Manhattan or somewhere else where everybody's buying a plane or a lot more frequency of that. And I don't know. You know, there may be more of that when the economy does better. We'll see. So that's something then that the individual taxpayer needs to be on guard for. And you say it's not automatic. You've got to put it in there.
Correct. Yeah. These are things that you need to know about, because the IRS will not volunteer that type of information. They won't put it on your tax return without you putting it on.
Okay. Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think a lot of people may not be aware of that, Steve. All right. Let's go to the next one. What's next on your list?
The next is out-of-pocket charitable deductions. Now, everybody knows that when you give money to the church or American Cancer Society, any sort of nonprofit, that you list that on your, again, your Schedule A. But out-of-pocket charitable deductions are also eligible. That's anything affiliated with performing a charitable function. If you drive somewhere and in assistance of that charitable action, that's deductible. You get 14 cents per mile for every charitable mile driven. That includes parking, tolls, anything affiliated with that travel. Also, any sort of supplies in support of charity that's not a direct monetary contribution. You know, say that you make meals for a soup kitchen. The ingredients of that is deductible. If you have mailings for a school event or for some 5K run or something like that, and you spend any money on any of your personal expenses on signs, any sort of marketing, mailings, anything like that, that is qualifies as a charitable deduction. You need to keep your receipts. You need to keep a good record of it. And if it exceeds $250, you will need some sort of acknowledgement from that organization. But it's been my experience that they've been very, very receptive to providing that sort of documentation.
All right, well, I get to ask the devil's advocate or armchair quarterback question, Steve. So if I gave $249 to 10 charities in cash, is that all deductible?
Yes, it is all deductible. Cash contributions are deductible in full.
So what if the IRS says, did you really make these contributions?
Basically, it wants either some sort of proof, a canceled check, a copy of your bank statement.
Okay. So if you actually had cash in your pocket, that's going to be, that might be a little weak if you make an actual cash. I mean, I say cash, you're saying you still have to document
okay.
it.
Yeah, you're talking about bills, the greenbacks.
Yeah. We still have those, although they're about to outlaw $50 and $100 bills in the near future. So, you know, I don't know if you heard that story, but anyway, they just don't want us to have money in our pockets. So I'm going to have to get some of that gold. But anyway, so no, they want you to document with a check.
Correct.
Okay.
Or be provided some sort of acknowledgement from the organization. Okay. And again, they're usually very accommodating when requested.
You're talking about something not right. It's actually in writing, not just a head nod.
Okay. Right.
All right. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for the money. No, you need an actual receipt. Okay. All right. Good. Listen, we're learning. This is good stuff. If you're just joining us, Steve Tassinelli. He is Controller and VP of Tax Services at Holland Financial. He runs our Tax and Accounting Department, and we're very happy to offer that to our clients. And we'll grab a break. We'll come back, and there's lots more to this list of commonly overlooked tax deductions, so stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Digny Memorial Provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com.
All right, welcome back. Let's dive back into the most overlooked tax deductions with Steve Tassinelli here in the office, our VP of Tax and Accounting Services for Holland Financial. And let's turn to your next one, Steve. What's next on your list?
The next one is one most people probably don't know about, and it's job hunting costs. If you're laid off or resign and you are looking for another job, you get to deduct on your Schedule A, and it is subject to 2% of your adjusted gross income, you do get to deduct those costs. You get to deduct traveling, 57.5 cents per mile.
Wow.
Plus parking and tolls, any sort of food and lodging if it's away from the place that you live, any sort of agency fee that you pay to an employment agency.
Or a recruiter or something like that.
Recruiter. All of that is deductible on your Schedule A. Now, it needs to be, need to be in the workforce already. It can't be your
first job. So it needs to be like,
job.
Okay, I got a job and this is what it is for doing it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And your resume costs, all of that is deductible under job hunting costs.
How about stopping at Starbucks on the way to the interview? Does that count?
You could maybe throw that in as food, but it would have to be in the town that your interview is in, not the town that you live in.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I'm just, making sure people know the options here. And okay. All right. And then you kind of made a distinction there. That's for when is there something different when you are getting your first job?
Yes. Basically, they don't allow you, if you're straight out of college and you are looking for your first job, that's just basically a cost of doing business. Okay. It doesn't allow you to deduct that on your tax return. You need to already be a member of the workforce.
Okay. All right. Very good. What else do you have for us?
This is another one most folks probably don't know about. It's applicable to a percentage of our population, but applicable nonetheless. It's legal fees that are paid to an attorney to secure alimony.
Okay, so spouses get divorced and one of them is getting alimony. The fees that costs that person to get the alimony they paid to their attorney then is deductible. And where is that deducted?
That is on the Schedule A, and it is subject to 2% of your adjusted gross income. It's basically goes under at the bottom of the Schedule A under miscellaneous deductions. Normally, attorney's fees are non-deductible personal expenses.
Now, when you say, just for clarity for people that may not be familiar, Steve, with the 2% of AGI, of adjusted gross income, that means that the fee has to exceed or the amount over 2%.
Correct. The 2% is what's called a floor.
It's kind of a deductible.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So let's just say your adjusted gross income were $50,000, which includes alimony.
Correct.
Okay, because the alimony is taxable. So $50,000 of income and 2% of that would be $1,000. If the bill from the attorney to get the alimony was $1,500, that portion of your bill was $1,500 say $5,000 it cost the attorney for your divorce. So that $1,500 would be the portion that is attributable to getting your alimony. Then it would be the $500 over the $1,000 that's deducted?
Yes, correct. Okay. The rationale being, again, the IRS tries to have rationale. Mm-hmm. If the alimony is taxable, which it is, you are allowed a deduction. They won't allow you a deduction for anything that's not taxable.
Right.
So if it is taxable, they in turn allow you to deduct any cost associated with taxing that income.
Well, that makes sense because the general spirit, even though people may not agree and may find a lot of fault with the IRS, the general spirit of how our tax system works in our country is, at least on the income taxation part of the equation, because there's multiple pieces, the income taxation part is that whatever it costs you to get that income, you can deduct against the income so that in effect you're only paying tax on your net income, be it a person, individual, or a business. And it's different when you start talking about gift, estate, or Social Security, which are the other parts of our tax code. But for income tax persons, whatever it costs you to get it is deducted against it.
Correct. And the only kind of caveat there is your attorney needs to kind of cooperate with you and attribute a certain percentage of his bill towards receipt getting that alimony. It's not the full bill for the full divorce. It's only a certain percentage that you and him or her both determine is attributable to securing that alimony.
Well, let's say just hypothetically somebody has already, it's all finished, they've already got their divorce, and they're going, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know about this. I think it'd be sufficient documentation, and you can speak to this, Steve, for that person to go back to their attorney and say, hey, look, you know, here was a total bill, and my CPA, they're really smart, they said that, you know, I could potentially deduct some of this, so can you tell me how much of this total bill was alimony? And just give me a statement to that effect, and please don't write me send me a bill for just telling me how much my bill was tax deductible. But basically, they could ascribe a certain portion, and you know, maybe it was very difficult to get the alimony, and it might be a bigger percentage of your total divorce bill than you thought, and you can deduct it against that alimony. Now, what if they don't? What if this all happens, say, in 1 year, and all the alimony comes in the next year? Would you be able to carry it forward, or is it only for the first year?
The taxes normally deal mostly with cash basis. That means Okay. The year you paid it or the year you earned it, you declare it, regardless of when you actually receive the benefits of that service that you paid for.
Okay, so it may be that you don't have a lot of, if you've got some income coming to you from alimony, and this is just one more thing for the attorneys to consider, is that to try to get that alimony to start in the same year that you've got the expenses, but a lot of times it spills over into the next year. Okay, good stuff. All right, what's next?
We will go straight to the credits now. The first few that we mentioned were tax deductions. There's a distinction between a deduction and a credit. A tax deduction basically decreases your taxable income. So say you're taxed at the 20% tax rate. Every dollar that you get to deduct saves you 20 cents. A tax credit is taken off your tax liability dollar for dollar. If you have a $2,000 tax credit and you owe $4,000 in taxes, you now owe two.
Now you have my attention, Steve. How do we get some of those tax credits?
You have to spend a lot of money in order to get these tax credits. The first one that a lot of folks kind of know about, but they're not specific on how it works, is the child care credit. It is for the folks who work and they have dependents or children that they need to have in some sort of daycare, some sort of after school program, anything associated with allowing that parent to work during the day and then have their children taken care of.
Okay. So important distinction there with the credit versus the deduction. And sometimes I run into this, and I know you do too, Steve, where somebody is excited about having their mortgage deduction because they, hey, I don't want to pay, hold on, I don't want to pay off this mortgage, or I'm going to take out a mortgage so I can get the deduction, and you're getting a deduction, and it's you, like you said, you're saving 20 cents on the dollar, but in that situation, you're paying 80 cents. So it helps, but you're still paying it. Now, if it were a credit, then that would be a whole nother animal.
Correct. The deduction, basically, you have to ask yourself if you would rather have 80 cents or 20 cents.
Right, right.
If you don't spend the dollar, you get 80. If you do spend it, you get 20. So it's a fairly easy answer to a question that I get all of the time.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Well, listen, let's grab another break. We'll come back. Steve Tassinelli, as you know, is with Holland Tax and Accounting Services, Division of Holland Financial, and overseeing the preparation of tax returns for our clients. And we'll grab a break, get a quick word in here from our sponsors that make this show possible, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. The Y is more than just a gym. With a focus on healthy living, it allows the Y to offer resources and guidance to help children, seniors, adults, and families maintain or improve their physical activity, health, and wellness. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
Yes, indeed. And we have Steve Tassinelli in the house with us. And we're talking about some of the most overlooked tax deductions. And actually, Steve's going one step further and talking about those glorious dollar-for-dollar tax credits. If you qualify, there needs to be an asterisk on all these, doesn't it? Doesn't there need to be, Steve?
Yes. The next two are two education credits. Folks probably know that if their child is in college, they get a deduction for that. Now, a lot of folks know about them, but they don't know the particulars. There are lots of requirements for both of the credits that we're going to talk about. And if you are going to dive into them, you do need to either do your research or have somebody professionally prepare it who is familiar with the ins and outs of these credits, because there's phase outs, there's exemptions, what's not deductible, what's deductible. So we're just touching on them. Every deduction and credit we mentioned today, you can devote a whole show to, some more than one. So we're just kind of touching on them to let you know that they're there if you're not taking them. The two education credits, the first one is called the American Opportunity Credit. That's for the first 4 years in college. The majority of the time, it's the child graduates from high school and they go to college. Now, we both are very familiar with the increase in the cost of tuition nowadays compared to when we went to college. Although it wasn't cheap then, it's very, very expensive nowadays. But they do allow you a credit, maximum amount of $2,500 per year, depending on your income levels. It does phase out at $80,000 for single or $160,000 for married filing joint. And this type of credit, even if you do not owe any tax and you're eligible for this credit, it will trigger a refund. So a lot of deductions and credits, just you're limited to the amount of your tax liability. This one goes one step farther and it will send you it forces the IRS to send you the money even if you don't owe tax.
Hmm. Yeah, they don't like doing that. So that's I'm sure they don't. No, we're not going to give you that. No, that makes sense. That makes sense, Steve.
The next credit is called the Lifetime Learning Credit. This is for the folks that aren't in their first 4 years of college. It's any sort of vocational or community college course that's offered, usually in furtherance of whatever line of work you're in. It's not restricted to any sort of age. It's basically any post-high school course. This is up to $2,000. And it does phase out as well. The limits are a little bit lower than the American Opportunity Credit. This encourages folks who have already graduated college, if they do go back, they do get that deduction. It's called the Lifetime Learning Credit. You can take it every single year as long as you meet the requirements for the courses that are eligible.
All right, good. Good stuff. Any other credits you want to talk about? There's a couple other subjects I want to get to.
No, that's pretty much it on credits. I do want to mention, since we're getting short on time here, it's tax season, folks. This is the time that you need to start thinking about these things. The due date is April 18th. Everybody thinks April 15th is always the due date. However, Washington, D.C. is going to celebrate Emancipation Day on Friday, April 15th. So it gives a three-day reprieve to the folks who always go down to the wire.
Right.
Normally, it's celebrated on April 16th, but since it's a Saturday this year, they're celebrating on Friday. It's the only place in the country that celebrates Emancipation Day that month. So due date is April 18th.
Okay, good. And with the time to getting your taxes done, you know, we can't really, it used to be we could kind of ignore this, but not anymore. And we have to almost have with every conversation about taxes and getting your taxes done, is that is the subject of identity theft and somebody else trying to get your refund. So what's been happening here? I know you've already gotten a few phone calls on this subject.
Yes. Last time I was on the program, we talked about it at length, and it bears mentioning again. It's very, very important. You have to be very vigilant out there, not only in who you provide your information to, But when people get in contact with you, I've gotten numerous phone calls just this week. It happens this time of the year because it is tax season. It's on the top of everybody's mind. So what's happening is people are getting phone calls, and they'll leave a voicemail if you don't answer your phone. They're stating that they're from the IRS. They are an IRS agent, and you are being sued by the IRS. And there is a warrant out for your arrest and to call this number back immediately. So they know most people will call that number back. Some won't, but a lot will. They know if you call back, they've already sunk the hook. You're halfway in.
Yeah.
They will basically demand payment, immediate payment over the phone via credit card, prepaid debit card. They'll try to get information from you, such as social security number, bank account numbers. It's a scam, folks. It's, again, I've gotten numerous phone calls. My family gets them. They're out there. You need to be very, very aware that the IRS will never call you on the phone. They do all their correspondence via U.S. Postal Service. They will never demand immediate payment over the phone. You always have a right to appeal. And they will never send the local police department to your front door. It's not even worth it to fight with these people. Just say that you know it's a scam. Please don't call back and then hang up on them. Do not engage them because they do get nasty.
Yeah, they will get nasty. And you just need to say, in fact, you just hang up on them. I mean, you don't even have to talk to them. And any time you get any call of anything of this nature, and it might not be specifically about the IRS, but any of this, you know, if somebody's got a legitimate, here's really the bottom line, Steve, if anybody got a legitimate reason to call you or to do business with you or something else where there's something legitimate, you know, a lot of that stuff comes in the mail. And, you know, that people know, and serious people know that. So, you know, be on the lookout for that and just be careful.
Correct.
Yep. Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Steve. Steve Tassinelli's right here in our office, VP of Tax Services for Holland Financial. Good show, Steve. We'll have you back to give us an update, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.